You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
The word psalm simply means, and of course there are a number of meanings, but primarily a psalm is just a godly or sacred song. A godly or sacred song. Now, many of us know that the primary writer of the book of Psalm is David. He's not the only writer of the book of Psalms, but he is the primary writer. So much so that the Bible calls David the sweet psalmist of Israel. He wrote a number of psalms, and they were recorded for our benefit in God's word. Now, when you consider the book of Psalm, it's a collection of testimonies, commandments, prayers, songs, and what I like to call poetic truth. Poetic truth. Because young people understand the Bible teaches that the entirety of God's word is truth. So even though David and others wrote a number of songs and testimonies in poetic form, we got to understand that it contains truth. And truth is what makes us free. I said truth is what makes us free. This morning, when we consider Psalm 109 and 26, we will learn about three important truths that are very noteworthy for today's young person. Very noteworthy, very important for today's young adult, teenage, to have knowledge and understanding about. It's not good enough just to learn these truths that we're going to see in the verse, but we need to believe them as well as apply them to our life. Are you with me thus far? So we're going to look at three truths that are found in Psalm 109 and verse 26. So let's get into it. Number one, we learn from this psalm that the psalmist is a true worshiper. The first truth, the psalmist is a true worshiper. And I can say this because the text says that he considered the Lord to be his God. Notice he says, "Oh Lord, help me out, my God." My God, letting us know that the psalmist had a personal relationship with the Lord. He was what the Bible calls a true worshiper, a genuine worshiper. And we know, according to the book of John 4, that our God is looking for true worshipers. He's looking for young people that's going to devote their total being to him. They're going to devote how they think, how they talk, and how they act to their God. That's what a worshiper is. And a true worshiper not only worships the Lord in his church, but they take that same lifestyle and they apply it outside the church. If you see that same person that says they are a true worshiper at their local church, when you see them at school, you will see them walking the same way. You won't see something different. If you happen to catch them at the movie theater watching Black Panther, you'll still see a true worshiper. If you happen to be online playing video games with them, and you're listening to their conversation, you'll be able to tell that you're playing a game with a true worshiper. Oh, am I talking about anybody in here? Yeah, when you are a true worshiper, young folk, it's just not about how you carry yourself in the church. It also has to do with how you carry yourself outside the church. And understand this, when you get outside of God's church, folk will try you to see if in actuality you are a true worshiper. Yeah, folk will test you. Folk will put your words to the test and want to see, are they actually witnessing somebody what the Bible calls a true worshiper? That's what happened to Daniel. That's what happened to his companions when they were taken captive from Judah over to Babylon. They went through a number of different things by the hands of various people. And when you consider the Bible, we learn that folk just wanted to see if they were true worshipers. Folk were testing them. Folk were taking them through some things just to see if they was real. And see, God does not change, young folk. You got to understand, you're going to go through things in this life, and it's just going to be a trying of your faith. God wants to know, your peers want to know, and most of all, you should want to know, am I a true worshiper? Sometimes the folk that you meet are just placed in your life just to test you to see if you are really a true worshiper. Sometimes the enemy will use folk in your family, on your job, people that you meet on the internet, just to try you to see if you are a true worshiper. But let me encourage you, when the test is over, when they get through examining you, you should have a testimony like Daniel, that they find you to be someone that is better than the rest. They should find a trendsetter. They should find somebody that is the cream of the crop. They should find somebody that they can pattern their life after. They should find somebody that is a true worshiper. That's what happened to Daniel when he was examined by many of the officials in his day and time. They found out that he was better than his counterparts. When King Nebuchadnezzar got through examining, he set a decree, don't nobody do nothing against Daniel and his friends' God, because these boys trusted him. We know that they worship the true and living God. He was so serious, he said, look, if any of y'all do anything against their God, I'm going to kill you. Woo! Look at somebody and say, touch not my anointed. That's right, young folk. When you go ahead and take a stand, God will divinely protect you. You may get talked about, you may get ridiculed, but God is not going to let any harm come to his true worshipers. And let me deal with a little bit more. A true worshiper is just going to have some traits. You're going to be able to tell a true worshiper just not by the words that they say, but by the actions that they display. Let me say that again. You're not going to be able to tell a true worshiper just by the words that they say, but by the actions that they display. Yeah, you giving God the praise out of a sincere heart lets God know that you are a true worshiper. When you hear the word and put it into action, that lets God know that you are a true worshiper. When money is tight, but you still bring God his tithe and his offering, that lets God know that you are a true worshiper. Do I have any true worshipers in the house? Can you call the Lord my God? Can you call him your God? Are you a true worshiper? And a true worshiper don't mean that we are flawless or perfect. No, a true worshiper gonna fall, but he's gonna repent and get right back up and keep moving forward. Oh, I got a quiet house. Do I have anybody on the Lord's side this morning? If you're a true worshiper, shout, he talking about me. That's right. Always remember, young folk, that your worship to God is a demonstration of your faith and trust in God. Yeah. When we say that we are true worshipers, we are demonstrating that we are faith walkers and that we're trusting God. And if you're a true worshiper, I've been saying this for the past few services as I've been led by the Lord. Our relationship with God needs to be a daily relationship, a personal relationship, and a sincere relationship. Yeah, a true worshiper has a personal, daily, and a sincere relationship. How many are following me thus far? So the first truth, he was a true worshiper. Second truth we see in Psalm 109 and 26 is that the psalmist knew that God was his helper. He starts out the verse, young people, by saying, help me, help me, help me, oh Lord, my God. A true worshiper has got to know the source of their help. And the psalmist knew that his God would help him. He was aware and he was sure that no matter where he found himself in life, that God was able and willing and could help him. And you and I need to understand that our God is willing, able, and can help us with whatever we put on the table. Whatever we put before our God, we serve a God, young people, that is willing, able, and can help us. What's messed up is sometimes we act like we don't know that. We try to find help sometimes in other places. But a true worshiper, a faith walker, always knows where their help comes from. You and I, you got to know, young people, that God will sustain you and help you in life. Areas that you are weak in, that you know you need help in, you serve a God that can help you. Yeah. Those areas that you try to hide from folk like you don't need no help, your God knows about it and he wants to help, but do you want him to help you? You got young women that still got daddy issues in here, and it messes their attitude up. It messes up their personal and self-confidence. All because of how their daddy treated them. There is somebody who can help you with that. Yeah, God is willing and able to help you with those issues in your heart. But you got to cast that care on him. You got to go boldly before the throne of grace. You got to come before God and let him know, Lord, I am upset about how my daddy has treated me and others in my family, and I'm pissed off about it. I'm ticked off about it. I'm feeling some kind of way about this thing. You got to go before God and just say, Lord, help me. Just like the psalmist, help me, Lord. I don't want to grow up and be a bitter young woman. Help me, Lord. I don't want to look at all young men as dogs. Help me, Lord. I don't want to look at every young man I bump into and have down in my spirit. Maybe he gonna treat me like my daddy treated me. Lord, help me. Sometimes all you need is just a two-word prayer. You just need to throw your head back and say, Lord, help me. But you better understand, whatsoever things you ask, you will receive. I serve a God that will help you with that issue. Well, Pastor, you don't know what it's like. Yeah, I may not know what it's like in totality, but I do know we serve a God that will help you. It comes a point, young woman, it comes a point, young man, where you got to do like David. You got to look to the hills from which cometh your help. You got to know that your help can't always come from your mama. Your help can't always come from your degree. Your help can't always come from your good looks. Your help can't always come from money. Your help comes from the Lord. Weed will give you temporary help. Alcohol will give you temporary help. Sex will give you temporary help. But there is no help like Jesus. I said, there is no help like Jesus. He will help you with that or any other issue that we have in our life. Look at somebody and say, the Lord will help you. Don't you know there are some young people that don't like themselves? They don't like themselves. They don't like how they look. They don't like their skin complexion. They don't like their hair. It's just different things some young people don't like about themselves. But don't you know God will help you with that? God will reveal to you why he made you the way he made you. God will reveal to you that, look, I made you with a purpose. And he can help you with that low self-esteem. I'm going to tell you, I told this story before, but I had a problem with my big feet when I was coming up. Yeah. Since the seventh grade, I have always been one of the tallest ones amongst my peers. And so I was towering over folk. And as I was growing back in the seventh and eighth grade, again, I was the tallest one. And as I would grow taller, my feet would grow bigger. And I would just have big feet. And you know how we do. We get the Jonah. And when you're at school, you're talking about folk, you always find in a person's weaknesses or what look funny about them. And that's what we pick on. Am I right about it? Yeah, if you got a gap in your mouth, people going to Jonah. Look, all right, look at that gap in your mouth. Well, whenever it came time to pick on me, folk would go right to my size 13s. And, man, it got to dealing with me because I did and do have big feet. And so I would try to hide my big feet. Just imagine with me. I would try to hide my big feet. Yeah, when I would sit down, I would put my book bag on the floor just so people wouldn't see my feet. Yeah, when I would go places and I had a jacket, instead of keeping it in my lap, I'd put it on the floor just to hide my big feet. Y'all ain't never had no insecurities. Yeah, there's some insecure folk in here. You done been there before. Yeah, and before I knew the Lord and how he could use people and speak through them to help me, I never forget I was down on myself and I was on summer vacation and I was with my grandmother and she was like, what's got you down? What's going on? And I was saying, you know, I'm just always getting talked about and people always dogging me out about my big feet. And folks still do it to this day. Here I am in my 40s. Folks still talk about my big feet. But the Lord used my grandmother, young folk, and gave her some wisdom that has stuck with me over 40 years. She said, well, Ron, that's what she used to call me. Well, Ron, if you didn't have big feet, you couldn't stand up. I said, good God Almighty, grandmother, you are right. If I did not have big feet, my tall, slender self would look funny. I would look pigeon-toed walking around. Man, after God used her to put that in my spirit, man, folk would talk about my big feet all day long, but it did not cause me to be insecure. Boy, I realized God gave me this height, and he gave me these big feet so I could stand up with the height that he gave me. Now, it may not be no big deal to you, but I'm telling you right now, God helped me back when I was young, and he's still helping me right now. Look at somebody and say, he will help you. Yeah, even with small things that you're insecure about, God will, he'll help you. Don't you know if you're a little thick, that's all right. It's folk out there who love thick girls. That's all right. It's folk out there, they don't want no skinny girl. They want somebody with a little meat on their body. Yeah, a little plump around the bone. Y'all, look how y'all looking right there. You better learn how to appreciate how God has made you. Because what happens, young folk, you will spend, or you can spend a lot of your time trying to be somebody that you're not to make other people happy that really don't think about you the way you think they think about you. Or you know them while you are in school for 4 to 6 years, but you ain't gonna see them the rest of your life. You better learn how to ask God to help you. Woo! Look at somebody and say, he will help you. Yeah. The Bible says, notice Psalm 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength. Now, I love this. A very present help in trouble. Whatever the trouble is in your life, God will help you. And he'll help you right now. Right now. Very present help. And see, this is what gets me. Sometimes we try to rate the trouble, and I know you got minor trouble and major trouble, but no matter what the trouble is, young people, God will help. And you've got to know for yourself that the God that you serve will help you. He will help you. When trouble arises in your life, say that with me. Say, my God will help me. Yeah. You've got to know it, and you've got to expect God to help you. You've got to know it, and you've got to expect God to help you. If it's your attitude, God will help you. He'll tell you how to improve on your attitude, but it's up to you to do what he reveals to you. He's not going to come down and do it for you. He'll help you and show you, all right, learn to just keep your mouth closed. It's okay to be wrong. You don't have to have the last word. You don't know everything. He'll help you. But it's up to us to realize, you know what? I can just be quiet. Okay, I ain't got to have the last word. And I don't know everything. However he chooses to help you, this is it. We got to be okay with that. If he chooses to use your mama to help you, you need to be okay with that. If he chooses to use pastor to help you, you need to be what? Okay with that. Just don't be stupid, young folk, and try to, I got to figure out, well, I got to help myself. You know, God helps those, as they say, who help themselves. That ain't Bible. No. God helps those who help themselves. You're going to hear that in life. But that ain't Bible. The Bible says he's a very present help. And when you look at scriptures like Psalm, as I have up here, 112, 1 and 2, we look to him, to the hills from which comes our help. And then another reading assignment later this week, Matthew 15, 21 through 28. You'll see that there was a mother who had a demon-possessed daughter. And she needed some help. She just knew, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. And she went to Jesus to get some help. Now, this is what I want us to understand before I move on, young people. Sometimes when you go to God and ask him to help you with your situations, sometimes it seems like he ain't going to help you. Or you ask him for certain things, and it seems like he ain't going to answer your prayer. And that's what I want you to learn when you read Matthew 15. This woman went to the Lord and asked her for help. He said no. She kept pressing him. He called her a dog. Yeah, y'all need to read the Bible. Called her a dog, but then she still went right back to him. Said, yeah, but even the dogs need a little something, something from the table. And the Lord looked at her and said, man, your faith is great. Let me go ahead and help you. Sometimes, young people, you go through a process in order for God to help you. So don't you ever get discouraged if you go to God about something that you need help with and the change doesn't happen instantaneously. God takes us oftentimes through steps. Lord, help me to stop cussing. You may not stop instantaneously, but you'll look up, Lord, you know what? I done went 2 days without cussing. Lord, help me to stop lying. Lord, I done went 30 minutes without telling a lie. You're just going through a little process. You done asked him to help you, and then the Holy Spirit start dealing with you. Look, just tell the truth. Watch it. Don't tell no lie now. Lord, I done went 30 minutes, and I didn't lie. I didn't lie. I told the truth. He'll take you just through different steps. He'll help husbands and wives not to be defensive when they get in arguments. Help me, Lord, as a husband, just to listen to my wife in certain things. But then flip it. Look at somebody say, flip it. Yeah, he'll help the wife not to be defensive when the husband corrects her. He'll help you. He'll help the pastor all the way down. And don't you ever look up here and ever think that Pastor Baker don't need some help. I know you got some preachers, they want you to think that they don't never need no help. I ain't one of them type preachers. I need the Lord to help me. How many appreciate the help of the Lord? Yeah. He will help you. So, we see that he was a true what? A true worshiper. We see that he knew that the Lord was his helper. But what I really want to deal with in our verse is that the psalmist knew the power of God's mercy. He knew the power of God's mercy. Mercy is when God demonstrates his kindness and his favor. Lord, I need some mercy. I need you to just be kind to me and do what I can't do for myself. Lord, I don't have the connections. I need some mercy. Lord, I have fallen short. I need some mercy. Lord, I did something I have no business doing. I need some mercy. There are young people and adults here this morning that need some mercy. Lord, I need you to show me some favor. I done stepped when I shouldn't have stepped. Lord, I should have stepped and I didn't step. Lord, just have mercy on me. Good God Almighty. Have you ever been in need of some kindness from God? Lord, my paycheck just ain't long enough. Can you please show me some mercy? I was expecting to get 40 hours, but they only gave me 25. Lord, I need some mercy. I need some mercy, Lord. I didn't know the car was going to break down right now. I need some mercy. I need some mercy, Lord. Young people, when you look in the Bible, faith walkers and true worshipers that were young in Scripture, they knew about the mercies of God. They depended on the mercy of God. Likewise, young people, we need to know and depend on the mercies of God in our day and time. If this be true, say, I need God's mercy. Yeah, I need God's mercy. Don't you ever get so high on yourself where you don't think you need God's favor on your life, where you don't need God's kindness on your life. God's mercy is essential to a young person being productive. Every day, you need to desire God to be merciful on you. Lord, have mercy. Let's look at a couple of truths about mercy before I conclude with our verse. All right? Let's go to Lamentations. Somebody said, Right after the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations, chapter number 3 and verse 22. Mercy from God is so important, young folk. You need to make sure you know and expect God's mercy on your life. Okay? Y'all still with me? All right, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, good God, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They, or his mercy, are new every morning. Two things we need to see. First of all, we see in the text, we would be jacked up or consumed if it were not for God's mercy. I would be in hell right now if God didn't have mercy on me. And I would not be alone. Y'all would be right there with me. We would be consumed, destroyed, or bringing it a little bit more plainer. A lot of the situations that we're in, young people, in our personal lives could be worse if God had not been merciful to us. Yeah. You was in a car wreck. You could be dead. But God has had mercy on you and your children. You committed the crime. You should be in jail right now. But God has had mercy on you. If you look in your lifetime, things that you so-called got away with, things that you kept from your parents, things that you have hidden in life that you say nobody knows about but you and maybe a select few, you best be glad God ain't pulled the cover off and allowed our reputation to be so messed up. It ain't nothing but God's mercy. Ooh, I said it ain't nothing but God's mercy. Nothing but God's mercy. Could have lost the house, but God showed you some mercy. Is there anybody in here that don't have to think back too far to realize your life could be much worse now if it had not been for God showing you some mercy? And is there anybody in here happy about it and can give God the praise? You had surgery, you could have got an infection, but God had mercy. You caught the COVID. You could have had some loss. But in 4 days, God resurrected your health and you still had your job. It wasn't nothing but God having mercy. You got pulled over multiple times in the same month. Your license should be suspended, but God had mercy. God had mercy. You should have some chilling somewhere, and you ain't even married. Woo! But God had mercy. For what you were doing, you should have been in in-house suspension or suspended from school. But God had mercy. Teacher could have called daddy and told him your business. But they said, we just gonna keep this between me and you. God had some mercy. Y'all acting like y'all don't know about God's favor. Y'all act like y'all don't know about God's kindness. But when I look closely at my life, I know my life hadn't been messed up because God has had mercy on me. You should have been set down in ministry, but God had mercy. For what you done, what you done been through, God had mercy on you. But he's still using you to lead prayer. He's still using you to play the instruments. He's still using you to teach. He's still using you to preach. You still got your own car. You still got your own health. You still, God done had mercy. Well, I do it. You and your friend talking about, well, I have sex if you had sex. And the both of y'all went and did it. They got pregnant. And you didn't. That ain't nothing but God having mercy. Well, I smoke it if you smoke it. Look, it could have been something laced in there. God had mercy. You'd be surprised of the dumb stuff young folk do just to be accepted by their peers. Well, I do it if you say you love me. Well, I'll let you see it. You better be glad you didn't come up on no rapist or no freak and they just didn't turn you out. Well, I'll let you be my first and the next thing you know, you hooked on something that you never thought you would be hooked. Is there anybody in here besides me that thank God for his mercy? You could complain, but when you think about God's mercy, woo! You've been in the bed for a week battling something in your body, but when you think about God's mercy, you could be in the hospital. You got to give God the praise. Woo! You got to give God the glory. You could be at Emory, you could be at Piedmont, but you just been in the bed at your house. You better thank God for his mercy. His mercy. You could have an IV all up in you, but all you've been doing is drinking green tea and orange juice. You better thank God for his mercy. And this is what I love about the text and about God in verse 23. He says, his mercies are new, young folk, every day. Just when we think God done showed us enough mercy, he still got some more. Just when we realize how jacked up we've been treating him, every single morning, he got some fresh mercy. Yeah, he got some fresh mercy every single day. So young folk, you don't ever have to feel like, well, Lord, I don't want to ask you for too much. You need to understand God. Every day he got some new mercy. Lord, I needed some favor yesterday, but today is a new day. And Pastor done taught me, according to Lamentations, that you got some fresh mercy for me. You got some new favor for me. Every single day, God got new mercy, young folk. New mercy. New mercy. New mercy. Lord, have mercy. Y'all say it with me. Say new mercy. New mercy. Every single day. When you wake up, young people, every day, you need to expect God to be merciful. Ask, Lord, be merciful to me. Be merciful, Lord. Let me just get to my destination safely. New mercy, Lord. Now, yesterday, Lord, I was driving crazy, but it's a new day, Lord. Just be merciful, Lord. Lord, I pray, be merciful to them trendsetters. It's some heavy foot drivers at the MSW. Be merciful, Lord. Some of them work all the way in Atlanta. Be merciful. Be merciful to these athletes, Lord. They out here on this football field. Just be merciful. Let them play, enjoy themselves without injury. Be merciful. Lord, some of them, Lord, they hang with folk. They done been taught, but they still hanging with folk they shouldn't hang with. Lord, be merciful. Just be merciful today, Lord. Be merciful. Every single day. Every single day. He got mercy. Boy, we ought to give God praise for that. Good God, every day. Because how many know when it come to man, sometimes we run out of mercy. We get tired of dealing with folk. Am I right? I don't want to fool with you. You ain't got no more favor with me. And you ain't got no more kindness with me. I am done. I'm done. But God got some new mercy every single day. And I'm going to say this before I move on, young people. You have got to make sure that you always are living in such a way that you can obtain God's mercy. Look at this. Y'all go to Proverbs 3. Let me clarify my statement with this verse. Because some people think that when they know God is merciful, they can do and live any kind of way. God does get to a point to where he will turn his face away from us. Yeah, that don't mean he don't have no new mercy, but he can stop extending it. And so, young people, when you look at Proverbs 3:3, notice what proverb writer tells his son. He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind it around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart." You got to make sure you always have access to God's mercy. Don't let mercy get away from you. Don't get to thinking, talking, and doing dumb stuff and don't think you won't reap what you sow. Now, God will be merciful, but it will come a point in time, young folk, well, God will hold back that mercy. He said, well, they just don't want my favor, my kindness. They can have what they desire. Yeah, when you read scripture, you'll see people. They didn't want what God had for them. So he just held back his kindness. He held back his favor. And I don't ever want to be to that point. So I have to make sure I stay in his mercy. I said I have to stay in his mercy. He says, bind it around your neck. Don't let it get away from you. How do I do that, Pastor? Remember when David talked about in Psalm 23, how he said, goodness and mercy follows me how? All the days of my life. But see, we got to look at that. Why did goodness and mercy follow him all the days of his life? Because the Lord was his shepherd. The Lord was his shepherd. He did what the Lord told him to do. And as long as he stayed in the will of God, mercy was with him. Good God Almighty. As long as you and I stay in the will of God, what's going to be with us? Mercy. All the days of our life. Does that mean, Pastor, we not going to fall short? No, y'all know that we're going to mess up. But we just don't practice messing up. Y'all understand the difference? So as long as we faith walkers, as long as the Lord is our shepherd, God going to be merciful. And one thing I love about God, he allows us to grow. He allows us to learn. He allows us to develop. But if you and I ever get stuck, stagnated, lazy, or out the will of God, we're messing up ourselves. Yeah, messing up ourselves. One writer said, woe be unto those who get at ease in Zion. So don't let mercy forsake you, young people. Always live your life to where you know, well, this is happening, but God, I know you're going to be merciful to me because I'm in your will. Y'all with me? Psalm 109, and we done. Our main verse, 109:26. The psalmist reveals that God's mercy saves. God's mercy, what does it do? It saves. Yeah. His mercies is new every morning. Right? We don't need to let his mercy get away from us or forsake us. But then we see in our text here that his mercy, it saves. God's mercy. He says, save me according to your mercy. Always remember, young people, when you ask God to show you some mercy, his mercy is going to deliver you, protect you, prosper you. Lord, show me some mercy. So I'm asking God to deliver me, protect me, prosper me. Be merciful. Lord, have mercy. Lord, save me. Deliver me. Protect me. Prosper me. When you pray for your friends, Lord, have mercy on them. Deliver them. Protect them. Prosper them. When your friend tell you they're going to have surgery, hey, I'm going to pray for you that God be merciful. I'm praying that God protect you, deliver you, prosper you. When your parents are going through things in the family, young people, God, be merciful to my family. Protect my family. Deliver my family. Prosper my family. Are you understanding? I talked to you earlier about Daniel and his companions. When you read, I believe it's Daniel chapter number 2, you see there was a time and point where Daniel and his friends, they were seeking God for his mercy. And see, sometimes in life, young folk, that's what you have to do. You have to seek God to save you, deliver you, protect you, and prosper you. Lord, I got this surgery. Please show me some mercy. Lord, I'm going in here for this interview. Show me some mercy. Lord, I just heard that my sister getting locked up. Show her some mercy. Lord, I got to go take these college exams. And you know how I am when I take tests. Show me some mercy, Lord. Lord, everybody's saying that this particular teacher is crazy. But I got her this semester. Show me some mercy. Lord, you know how I am with math. Now, I'm good with reading, but Lord, this math, this new math, Lord. And you know I got to have this math in order to graduate or to qualify for this scholarship. Show me some mercy. Save me, Lord. Save me, Lord. Deliver me. Protect me. Prosper me. Lord, Mama said we going to shop for a car this weekend. Show us some mercy. Somebody's like, that's my prayer right now, Lord. But I'm trying to give you examples of how to seek God for his mercy. Different things that you deal with on a day-to-day basis, you need to know, I serve a God of mercy, and he'll save me. He'll save me. Lord, my sister, she's really dealing with some stuff that she don't feel comfortable going to mama about. And she done came to talk to me. Be merciful to her. Give me what to say to her. What would mama say? What would pastor say? What would daddy say? Give me some wisdom. You seeking God for mercy. Lord, I got this friend. They keep coming to me about something that's going on in their life. I ain't never been there. But Lord, I'm seeking you for your mercy. Lord, I'm having these sexual desires. And you a girl having sexual desires for another girl. Lord, this demon is attacking me. Protect me. Be merciful to me. Be merciful, Lord. Lord, I want to play basketball, but you know, at the school, all the girls that are, they on the team. Protect me, Lord. Be merciful. Save me. We serve a God of mercy. You serve the God of mercy. And every day, young people, you should expect God to demonstrate mercy in your life. How many understand the teaching? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the text, the topic.